Let's talk nutrition in today's episode. Let's get started.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, sirs and ma'ams, instructors, students, parents of ATA Nation, this is the ATA Nation Podcast, episode number 41. I am your host, Senior Master Zach Hayden, and I am excited to be back with you today. Now, as I mentioned last week, I was a little bit behind in getting our final interview for our fitness and nutrition talk in January. So today, even though this is February, we are going to hit one more time some information about nutrition. I'm really excited in this episode. We've got Mr. Vincent Raimondi. You may recognize that last name. And he has got a wealth of knowledge. I mean, really, we just scratched the surface of what he knows about health and nutrition. This guy knows his stuff. So I was super excited to connect with him, be able to have him here on an interview. Let's actually get right to it.
Special guest interview.
ATA Nation, we have with us Mr. Vincent Raimondi. He is a first-degree black belt. The last name, I think, for a lot of ATA Nation is going to sound familiar, and we'll get to that in a second. But we're here today to talk about some fitness, definitely some nutrition, which I'm really interested in asking you some questions about. Sir, give us a little bit of your background. I know you have a very extensive background in fitness, in the military. Give us a little, who is Vincent Raimondi?
So I'm a first degree black belt and one of the instructors out of ATA Martial Arts out of Roselle Park, New Jersey. And the name may sound familiar because Chief Master Raimondi is my father and Master Raimondi is my brother. So yeah. I have a little bit of a martial arts background.
a little bit.
Yes, sir. I serve in the National Guard, and prior to that, I was active duty military out of Fort Riley, Kansas. While I was in there, I was a part of the Army Body Composition Program, so I helped rehabilitate soldiers and get them off of injuries and back into the field. And I was also a part of the Master Fitness Trainer Program, which we were some of the ones to trial and come up with the new Army Combat Fitness Test. Prior to that, I was a personal trainer and a competitive power lifter, competing in the 198 and 220 weight class. So fitness has been a huge part of my life for as long as I can remember.
Very cool. And so tell me just a little bit more about the body composition program in the Army. You said that, so was that like you are kind of a personal trainer for people who are needing rehab from injuries and stuff like that? Is that what that program is?
Yes, exactly. So during COVID, a lot of soldiers, because we weren't even allowed to like hit the gyms or do much. They made us all social distance. So a lot of soldiers kind of fell out of shape and weren't passing the taping and body weight standards for the Army. So they had put me in charge of our brigade and handed me about 40 soldiers. And I would take them after work and, you know, get them right. Explain to them nutrition, diet, and then we would train.
Okay, cool. So you were one of the guys making sure that our military is fit and ready for action.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. And now you're not only instructing, but you're doing the personal training and stuff as well, correct?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. And I've seen some Instagram pictures. You are definitely still training hard yourself, it seems.
Yeah, it's a passion. I'm never going to give it up.
That's great. Well, the beginning of this year, we've been talking to different people about fitness and things like that. One thing that we haven't hit on is nutrition. So we have people of all ages, all ranks that listen to the show. Just in general, if you were going to give two or three tips for just a regular person to focus on improving their nutrition, what kind of things should we be looking at? You know, not probably the latest fad diet, but some key tips.
Right. So I think as a society, we need to make a conscious decision to start understanding our food as fuel. And, you know, we need to start making sure that we're getting quality food in our bodies, like quality fuel, to help facilitate our lifestyles. You know, the fad diets, they all still operate off of CICO, calories in, calories out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got keto diet where people are just cutting out carbohydrates and increasing their protein intake, which is great. I mean, that's fine. You have the Atkins diet from, you know, 20 years ago, which was pretty much the same thing. You're just supplementing fats over carbohydrates. But all those diets work through the amount of calories you're taking in being less than or equal to the amount of calories that your body is burning.
Mm. So when it comes to nutrition, you know, we've got this formula, calories in, calories out. When we had done a little mention earlier, you had talked about there's a way in which people, you know, we're all mostly functioning under this idea that just every human burns 2,000 calories a day and our diets are all based on 2,000 calories a day. I'm guessing that's not actually the truth.
No. it's very dependent on your lean body mass and your level of activity. If you're a marathon runner, you're going to burn a lot more than 2,000 calories a day if you're running every day. Like for me, when I was doing half marathons in the military, my metabolic rate would increase to almost 3,500 calories in a day because I'd burn about 1,800 on my run. Mm. So if you're looking to lose weight, that's a huge deficit. So you do still want to eat above your maintenance, let's say 2,000 calories, to kind of keep yourself fueled, or else you're going to crash.
Now, do you think that the average person these days, we're not necessarily looking yet at the athlete, the martial arts athlete, but I'm a mom who comes to Taekwondo class twice a week, or, you know, just a regular student who comes twice a week. Do you think the average American these days is even at the 2000 calorie mark?
Probably close to 1,800 to 2,200 calories. Okay. 1,800 to 2,200 calories would probably be fairly okay for most of the population.
Okay, good to know, because it's hard. You know, I mean, like, I sit at my desk, you know, a couple hours a day.
Right.
You know what? You know, I'm right. Not obviously burning as much then. And I just, you know, you see this 2,000 calorie a day thing, and you're like, I don't know if that's accurate. And I'm just going to track my, you know, consumption and see if I'm close to that. Is there an easy way to, or I know my Apple Watch will tell me, hey, I burned this many calories doing this workout. Are those at all accurate from your, you know, or is that something that you guys use in fitness to track the actual number of calories being used, or is that like way off?
So they're a tool, right? And they're not perfect. But it's a good idea of a level of activity. I would say they can be as far off as 400 calories. Mm. You know, like it could tell you, well, you burned 1,000 calories in this workout, and it could have only been about 600 in that hour. And then other times, you know, you just may have a high heart rate, and it may tell you that you burned well below what you've actually burned in that workout. But they are a tool, and I think it's a great way to perceive the amount of effort you're putting into your workouts. And like your movement through the day, the step trackers are fantastic. I think everyone should be trying to reach a 10,000 step goal a day. It's not very hard. And you know, 10 minutes of walking every day, which is now they found out recommended, is 70 minutes of walking a week. So 10 minutes of cardio every day for a whole week will save 100,000 people in the United States from heart disease and overweight related illnesses.
Wow. That's a, you know, when I teach martial arts, one of the things that I tell my students when we're doing workouts and we're doing things like that is like the likelihood of you needing to use your kicks and punches on the street is not very high, but the chances of you getting heart disease are really good. It's the number one killer of adult men,
right.
You know, so yes. Like stay in martial arts, even just for that self-defense, not just, you know, kicking and punching.
Precisely. Yeah. Like we need to be conscious that, you know, our bodies are meant to move, and we're meant to cross large distances, and we're meant to function, and sitting down all day is just not the move.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to eating, I'm assuming like we should focus most on protein, on fruits and vegetables, low on, you know, the big things I hear these days are, you know, eat your proteins, eat as much, you know, veggies as you want, and stay away from processed foods. Is that, you know, like
it's very fair. Yes. I mean, fructose behaves in the body differently than processed sugar does. So fruits are fantastic. They actually recently found that in increasing your fruit intake is not going to cause any kind of fatty liver issues as it would when eating processed sugars.
Oh, okay.
So fructose is definitely a go. I always recommend just eat your protein first. They're going to make you feel satiated. They're going to make you feel full. So when I sit down for a meal, I make sure I get my protein in prior to my vegetables and then, you know, a serving of fruit as kind of dessert. It never really goes wrong that way, you know?
Do you, I know I find myself in, nutrition wise or just habit wise, not even nutrition is, I have the same 5 to 10 meals all the time. You know, my lunch is pretty similar. Is that something that is helpful in maintaining a habit? Should we be mixing up our foods a little bit more than that, or does it not really matter?
I mean, as long as you're getting all the nutrients you need, you can eat the same things every day. I tend to do the same thing. I have like a couple of planned meals that I just kind of cycle through because they're easier for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just busy.
I try to, you know, eat a chicken. I eat chicken for most of my protein during the day. I try to get one fish in per day, and then maybe twice a week a red meat.
Gotcha. Good. Okay. Well, totally off the wall question that I just thought of with that is, what about for the average person, maybe not an athlete yet, supplements, you know, a daily vitamin, is that something that you're telling your clients to do?
Yeah. I mean, especially this time of year where it's like cold and dreary, I would recommend taking a calcium and a vitamin D. Because we're just not getting as much sun as we probably should be. And then if you're having any kind of muscle cramping issues during longer workouts, I'd say a zinc and a magnesium before bed. It would help you put you to sleep. But otherwise, most of your micronutrients, your vitamins should mm-hmm. come from your whole food sources, which mm-hmm. again, come away from the processed foods, and you will have a more complete, you know, vitamin profile in your body.
You mentioned the proteins that you eat. What kind of vegetables are in your diet regularly?
I do a lot of salads. I do a lot of greens because I kind of eat for volume. So I want to feel full without necessarily eating high calorie foods.
Billion calories, yeah.
So, right. So I do a lot of salads. I do a lot of mixed vegetables. Fruit. I do apples almost every day.
Ooh, that's a good
bananas.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. Apples are great. They're a good on the go snack, like a pre-workout, maybe a banana. And, then in terms of like carbohydrates for me, I do oatmeal, like steel cut oats for breakfast and, rice, just plain white rice.
Okay. Okay, cool. What, I know salad wise, what kind of greens, I'm just interested in this because, you know, so many salads are like, iceberg lettuce, which is basically nothing.
Water.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, like spinach in there, you know, other
yes,
greens.
Spinach, arugula. Yeah. They're like better greens.
Yeah.
I would recommend over Iceberg. I mean, even if it is just Iceberg, though, that's okay.
I mean, you're still filling the stomach. You're still trying to get that full feeling. It's just not as nutritious as the other stuff.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, there's worse things, way worse things you could be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And no, but when doing that, people also need to be like cognizant that a lot of salad dressings are very, very heavy in fats. And, you know, you could be thinking, well, this salad's only 30 calories, but then you've added 500 calories of oil to it.
Yeah.
And it comes really fast if you're using things like oil and vinegar. So you just need to make sure that you're making a conscious decision and being aware that, you know, the dressing matters too, you know.
Oh, man. My family, my wife and I get these bag salads and we'll get them. And, man, I use like not even a third of the dressing that they include in this thing. I'm like, if you put all this dressing on the salad, like it's a soup. I don't even understand how people drink that much dressing with it.
Yeah. The prepackaged stuff. That's why I do my own.
Yeah. That's smart. That's smart.
There's a lot of great salad dressing choices. Companies like G Hughes do the sugar-free barbecue, honey mustard and all that. And they drop, I mean, honey mustard is like 130 calories for 30 milliliters. And then, you know, you use the G Hughes and it's 10.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to check
that
out.
So it's a big difference.
Yeah. For sure. I try to limit my, you know, salad dressing use as much as possible. One, I just don't need it on there that much. But two, I know it's like, it's the easiest way to ruin a salad healthy wise.
Exactly.
Is to stick that stuff on there. Okay. Well, let's look a little bit at, an athlete. So, middle school, high school, early 20s, I'm in the competition circuit in martial arts. I'm really wanting to, you know, take my skills to the next level. What kind of things should I be looking at? Maybe, nutrition, maybe just workout, understanding, fueling my body. What are different for an athlete versus just like walking around normal people?
So one of the best things is we live in the era where information is so easily accessible.
Mm. Yes, sir.
So you can literally, well, and that's not always a good thing because there's a lot of bad information as well, but there's a lot of fantastic information to be found on YouTube and on the internet. So these kids have access to so much, but the one thing I will always recommend is macro counting, macronutrient counting, know your macros. Weigh yourself, write a diet plan. Ask somebody with experience. I'm available. I will always answer messages, for interested people. I love doing this. This is my passion. If you're eating the proper protein, it's going to change your recovery times. You're going to be able to hit the workouts harder. If you need workout plans, ask somebody. I will help anybody who needs it. But you need to know what your baseline is. So I recommend writing everything you eat down for an entire week and that being your starting point. What am I missing? And then you can start to plan from there. Mm. But you need to know where you are starting before you can move forward.
I think that's really important. I think, I see in the ATA, we've got, such a great, the last five or so years has really brought more athletic skill or a bigger focus on the athletic skill, in our tournament circuit, team sparring, things like that. But I think, my sense is that we are not paying much attention to that nutrition side for a lot of those athletes. You know, they're younger people and they're like, my metabolism's still great. I can eat whatever I want. It seems like, as you said earlier, with the food being fuel, they're just going to get better results, feel better, if they're feeding themselves properly.
Right. Stay away from the hot Cheetos. Stay away from the, you know, the Doritos. Eat whole food sources. It'll pay off in the long run. That stuff just hurts your recovery. And yeah, that metabolism will slow down eventually.
It does, and, indeed.
You're going to have to pay for it.
It does.
Plus, you could look healthy. You could look healthy on the outside. There's plenty of bodybuilders. There's plenty of athletes that look great, but they're dying on the inside. You know, and it has to do with their food choices.
Yeah. And it, what those choices, some of those choices that you're making at the teens, the early 20s, because your body is just making up for it at the time, you've built these habits, though, that are going to just destroy you as you get older.
And yeah, and as they become habits, they're harder to break. Mm.
What, so there's this thing, the basal metabolic rate. What can you explain this idea of a metabolic rate? Because everybody knows, like, I'm young, I burn calories like crazy. I'm old, doesn't seem like I'm burning calories like I was. What is this? What can we learn from this?
So your basal metabolic rate is the amount of calories that your body is just burning to exist. Like being alive. You don't have to even get out of bed, and this is the number of calories that your body's going to use daily to survive. And it's dependent on your lean body mass. So one of the ways we used to find our basal metabolic rate is what was available to us in the Army was called the BOD pod. It was a wellness center, and you could go there and they'd strap you into this machine and it would scan your body and give you an idea of a lean body mass and what, like, dependent on your level of activity, what your basal metabolic rate for a day would be, which is awesome because it helps you adjust the diet depending on your goals.
Gotcha.
My Garmin watch does it for me too. It kind of tells me a basal metabolic rate. And like I said, they're not super accurate, but it gives me an idea. And it says I burn about 2,200 calories a day without going to the gym.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So I have a fairly slow metabolism for a 31-year-old. But you know, it still gives me an idea of a starting point for my diet so I can add or subtract from that number.
Super cool. I wonder if there's something on my Apple watch that does similar. I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah, sure. It's pretty cool. There's so many tools now. I mean, it just makes life so much easier.
At one point, one of my family members had gotten one of those. Oh, it's been so many years now. Biggest Loser was on, and at the time, the Biggest Loser contestants would wear this thing on their arm all the time that would measure their metabolic rate. They got one of those, and it was because a lot of the tracking, it seems, that we do is what we put into our body, which is super important. We need to know that. But like you said, the basal metabolic rate is figuring out on the other side, like, what is my body burning versus what I'm, you know, bringing into my body. So super cool. I'm going to play around with some apps and stuff. And, that's the joy of technology these days. And like you said, I'm sure, you know, it's not the most accurate version, but even having some kind of idea, being aware of it probably is helpful.
Yes. I wear my Garmin every day, and it became a tool because it hooks up to my FitnessPal app and it tracks all my workouts. So I get an idea of like what a day looks like for me. I mean, it even records my sleep. So I just, you know, it makes it easier to make changes. You know, maybe I'm not getting quality sleep this week, or maybe I should pull the calories back because I'm not getting as many steps in this week as I should be. I mean, we don't have to obsess over these things, but like I said, it's just another tool in the toolbox that helps with us, you know, making decisions to make us better athletes.
And it's, you know, depending on your needs, you know, as an athlete, you might spend a little bit more time looking at those things because you want to maximize your returns. You know, as a the casual martial artist, you know, might just keep an eye on those macronutrients, track those things. I know for me, when I've done MyFitnessPal or one of those and just tracked everything I eat, just being aware of what's going in your mouth changes a lot of – or you just realize the amount of calories you're getting from different things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, people that cook with olive oil, like a tablespoon, 120 calories, I mean, do you actually measure it out as a tablespoon when you're cooking chicken, or do you just dump it into the pan?
Yeah. Yeah.
These little things add up, and they can really affect, you know, your calorie intake. You could be wildly off by 1,000 calories and not even realize it.
Oh man. So. Yeah. That's, it's huge. I mean, and it's tough. You know, we've got access to more food than ever before. You know, we're busier, it seems, than ever before. What tips, what do you use, to help you, you're busy, you know, we're all just busy. You've got families, we're doing stuff. How are you, are there any tools, any things that you use to help keep you on track, whether it's, you know, food prep or, you know, apps or anything like that to keep you kind of focused?
So I do use MyFitnessPal, and I do plan my meals, like 4 or 5 days in advance, sometimes all the way through the week. And I have it, everything is listed. Like, this is what I'm going to eat for dinner. This is what I'm going to eat for breakfast. This is what I'm going to eat for lunch. This is what I'll have for a snack. This is what I'll eat for dinner. And I just plan it out perfectly so that when I go to the store, I just buy what I need. And that's all I'll keep in the house, you know, and that makes it easy for me to not have any kind of temptation. And it's thoughtless. So I can just eat my food, cook my meals, and move forward. And it just makes it very simple. And, you know, if you go off a little bit, it's okay, because I have it planned for a whole week. So I look at it as, well, if I'm in a 500 calorie deficit every day for an entire week, what's 5 times 7? Okay, well, that's the amount, 500 times 7, this is the amount of calories. So even if I have one day where I eat 1,000 calories over, say my family wants to go out to eat, it's okay, because I'm still going to be in a deficit over the week.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Super helpful. I think
so. Yeah, so it also makes you feel less guilty if you do have a day where it's just not all perfect.
And I think that's one of those things that, the guilt factor gets so many people. They have a bad day, a bad couple of days, and then they're just like, I'm done. What's the use? I'm just going to go back to my old ways.
Well, yeah, and we're not trying to form bad relationships with food or any kind of eating disorders. Like, don't put so much emphasis on this, because you're going to have off days, and it's okay. Just that's why I plan a whole week ahead. That way I know that if one bad day happens, or even two bad days, hey, by Monday next week, I'm still on track.
That's smart. Good idea. That's awesome, sir. I think diet, or I mean, and I hate to use the word diet, nutrition.
Yeah, right. As I said before, I think diet's just bad. Yeah, people see other people eating healthy and go, what do you want, a diet? Well, no, what if this is just a conscious decision of the way they want to eat? It's not necessarily a diet. Well, because I don't want to eat McDonald's doesn't mean I'm on a diet. It just means I'm more aware of what I'm putting in my body.
Yeah, I've placed a higher priority than, you know, than right. average on what I'm fueling my body with. And I think that just that mental change for people, and especially I think our younger athletes, are those teens, if they can really start thinking about, like you said, that food as fuel, we could make some better choices, I think.
That's right.
Well, sir, I appreciate the information. I could probably ask you about 30 more questions, but I'll wait until another time. Maybe if ATA Nation's got some questions, they can shoot those over to me, and we can reach out to you at a future date and get more questions. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for what you're doing in helping other people learn. I know all around nutrition, health, and fitness is just something that we as martial artists need to take really seriously. But as a, you know, just as humans, you know, we need to improve on. So thank you for your time.
I thank you so much for having me, sir.
I appreciate it. Welcome back. Great interview. Amazing information. As I mentioned in the interview, I think we're doing some really great things in, the athleticism of our students. I don't know about how things are going at your school or whatever, but I get to see a lot of the things at the world and national level. I've talked, you know, Mrs. Kaminsky, looking at the curriculum being put out by ATA with Chief Master Nominee Kaminsky's combat, with the sparring curriculum, all these different things. I'm just seeing this level of athleticism increase. And I think it's so very important that we address the fueling of our bodies, the nutrition part of this as well. So I think this is going to be really important, especially for our younger athletes, for all of us. You know, after the interview, I need to get back to tracking my calories in. I've been really good this year on my working out, getting a system set up for that. But I know for myself, tracking those calories is not, I'm not doing it as well. And I'm going to be looking at seeing if I can figure out what my basal metabolic rate is too. Pretty cool. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I would love if you have any questions for any of our guests that we've had on about health and fitness, Mrs. Kaminsky, any question about the recovery tool or just recovery in general that I talked about, any questions for Mr. Raimondi, message me, just send me a text, 260-250-3975. That would be super great because I'd like to collect those questions from you guys and be able to ask these guests again, just some of these like listener questions and see what you guys are asking. So ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap up our episode today. Thank you again for tuning in. We have a lot of new listeners now that you can access the podcast on the Facebook page. Please, if you see the podcast on the ATA Martial Arts Facebook page, share it. Please, please share. We want all of ATA Nation to join us in listening here. Until next time. Until next time. Make sure you're out there taking action.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
Are you guys getting ready for Snowmageddon? I don't know where you are. I am in Indiana, and they are predicting that over the next 2 days, 3 days, we're going to have something like, I don't know, 1.5 feet of snow, 2 feet of snow. I don't know. It changes every second or two. I think I'm going to be locked in the house for a little while. Maybe I'll help me get another episode in all ready for next week. I'm really looking at, we're going to have, I think, some discussions on legacy. I'm kind of going through what that is, talking to some instructors about it. That's my current plan. If you want to hear something different, you just let me know. Send me a text. You guys know how to do it. Okay, later.